Welcome to the Wicked Wallflowers Club. I'm Sarah Hawley.
And I'm Jenny Nordback.
And we have an exciting episode this week. We're joined by Aaron Galloway and Jessica Brock from Berkeley Romance. We talk about upcoming 2020 Berkeley releases, and wow, are there some amazing books coming this year that we can't wait to talk about with all of you. So without further ado, here is our interview with Aaron and Jessica.
We are joined once again by our dear friend Aaron Galloway, but today she's also brought along Jessica Brock, and they're both from Berkeley. So thank you guys for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
We're very excited to chat romance.
Yeah, as you always are. You can be relied upon. And this episode came about because we did what we're reading last year, where you kind of previewed for us what Berkeley had coming down the line. And it was super cool because we didn't know about half of the books. And like the rest of the year, we just got to watch them unfold. So we thought we would persuade you to come back and do the same again to let us know what's coming in 2020.
Well, so happy to do so. Our 2020 list is an embarrassment of riches, is really the only way it can be put. Jess and I feel so like thrilled, honored, excited to have the list that we have in 2020, to the point where I feel like we're going to have to call today part one, because if we talked about every book that we were truly excited about from now until the end of the year, you know, we'd be on here until next week, but we'll try and keep it focused to a few today. And if people like it and, you know, they want to hear more, we are always available to chat.
Always have.
Well, and that's not even, I don't promise not to grill you about New Zealand. So
fair. Always happy to chat about travels.
Yeah, Erin is just back from a trip to New Zealand, which, as everybody knows, is pretty much my favorite place in the world. So
I know.
Before we jump into books, was it amazing, I'm assuming?
I mean, a literal dream come true in every way. And I did think of you while I was there because we've had talks about New Zealand and it was just magic. Absolute magic.
Yay.
Did you go to any of the Lord of the Rings locations?
I went to Hobbiton. Yeah. And it was so cool.
I want to go.
It was amazing. Like I, you know, had hard cider at the Green Dragon Inn and I joked that like I lived like a hobbit for a day and it was absolutely fantastic. It felt like you were in the movie. Green and lush and flowers and vegetable gardens growing. I mean, they literally have an entire staff of people gardening on the property just to make it truly look like it did in the film. It is absolutely stunning.
Well,
to
you just
see
described my dream job.
Oh, well, hey,
I already live every day like a hobbit, just tons of cheese and baked goods. So I'm totally willing to do some weeding in New Zealand.
I say go for it. Sign up.
We did this tour there that was like a feast at night, and it was a small group and they brought everyone together and had a feast in the Green Dragon. But it was like sort of shared style plate or family style plates. And so everyone kind of got to know each other the way you would expect hobbits to do. And it would have been really cool, except I only had my son at the time and he just was like not having it. So he was frustrated and screaming and mad and we were embarrassed. So we were like taking turns disappearing with him.
Oh no.
That's rough.
But yeah. Right. All right. So books. I will take New Zealand offline.
Fair. Well, Jess, do you want to start with a pick? What do you want to do?
I can most definitely start. We're going to take it back just a little bit to earlier in February when Mila Vane kicked off her new series with A Heart of Blood and Ashes.
I've been hearing such good things.
Wait, I've completely missed that there's new Mila Vane out. Okay.
it's a pen name for Mel Jean. It's not a secret. But this, I mean, yeah. All right. Besides like the last season of Game of Thrones, because we can just chalk that up to whatever. You know, I've been missing this kind of like epic fantasy adventure, and this book completely fit that bill. And it was so much fun to just get immersed in a totally different world and with creatures and barbarians and wars and badass heroines. And oh my gosh, I loved it so much. And there was like a lot of cool lore that she came up with as well, which I always love because that kind of attention to detail just fascinates me because my brain doesn't work like that. So, highly
Sarah,
recommend.
This is what Sarah McLean texted you about when I was having drinks with her.
Oh, the new one. I thought she was just like having feelings about Millavane, and I was like, I also have feelings about Millavane.
No, she was in the middle of reading it, and she was like, has Sarah picked this up yet? Like, it's ridiculous.
I need
it. And the
it.
Cover. She's... Oh my God, that cover.
She is everything to me. She's my favorite author. Just incredible. And talking about like badass women characters, she writes the best ones. So... yeah, I know what I'm going to be doing immediately after this interview is learning everything I can about this.
And the next one is scheduled for some point in time in this year, and it's called A Touch of Stone and Snow.
Yes. Mm. I happened to witness the cover shoot for this book, and it's so hard living my life having to go to these photo shoots with these like men with their rippling muscles and their flowing hair and, you know, wearing skins and furs.
Oh my God.
Very
please
challenging.
Tell me there's like a behind the scenes picture.
Yeah, big it's, sacrifice.
Is this one another like Viking barbarian?
Yes. And it's, I mean, the shoot was like, I will be honest, the shoots are not as sexy as one would think because of course it's work. And this poor model is like attempting to do 12 things that you're asking him to do at once, smolder and look angry, but also sultry and sexy. And like you could carry a woman away, but not in a gross way. And, you know, so well, that...
That's
that
funny
guy
because,
had a lot to live up to.
Well, I'm looking at the covers and like they don't show their full face anyway, so I'm just going to assume he was emoting very heavily. I see a little more of his abs than perhaps his expression.
Yeah, that is by design. Uh-huh. And we literally, I mean, we did so much like makeup on that guy to make him appear like actually filthy. And they literally created his costume on site. Our photographer is one of the best in the business. We work with an amazing photographer, Claudio Marinesco, and he just does the most beautiful work and loves doing the actual wardrobe design himself. So he came in with an enormous amount of props and literally created it from start to finish, like fitted the leathers and the furs and like was ripping apart, you know, pairs of shoes to turn them into something different and, you know, putting like metal apparatus on. It was really cool to witness.
I like, so I'm on her website right now looking at this, and they have little taglines for the series, and it says, so genre, barbarian fantasy romance, sex, explicit, violence, bloody, language, vulgar. And I'm like, that is everything I've ever wanted in a romance novel right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
It hits on all the high points.
Mm-hmm. She knows how to get you.
So I highly recommend that one. And then jumping just a little ahead, because I can't believe it's March, like tomorrow, we have the second book in the Lissa K. Adams Bromance Book Club series called Undercover Bromance. And I just like squealed with happiness the entire time I read this book.
Yeah.
Because not only do you have this like guy who thinks he knows everything about how to romance a woman, and then of course like he meets his dream girl and he's like, I know nothing. And it's great. But you also have this Liv from the sister from the heroine in the book one. Wow, words are hard. but so this is her story as well. And she was kind of a tough nut, if you will, in book one. And so you kind of get to see her like blossom and accept this new person into her life when she has built up such strong walls. And but she also lives on a little farm situation, and these side characters, like the woman who owns the farm that she lives in the guest house, they're the greatest people ever.
Yes.
And there's a chicken with a lively personality and it's great. I don't want to spoil it, but yes, highly recommend.
Yes.
Erin had previewed the first book that on the last episode like this that we did, the Bromance Book Club, and it was, you know, kind of the first we were hearing about it, and it was a ways out. It was like months and months away from coming out.
Yeah.
And I was a little bit nervous about how it was going to be received. Like, do we really want the male perspective? You know, is it from their POV? I saw a lot of nervousness about that. And from what I've seen and heard, everybody has just responded so well to this series. And they're all super, super excited for this next book.
It has been amazing to see. I mean, Jess could tell you for probably days about the responses she's gotten from bloggers and reviewers. And one of the other cool things is hearing from all the booksellers. There are so many booksellers that love this series and really got behind it because it's such a great concept and such an interesting way to involve men in the world of romance in a way that's like much healthier. And certainly like a little bit of a fantasy, because I think I said it on the last episode, like her characters say the sexiest words men have ever said. Mm-hmm. Things like, you need to learn your wife's love language. Yeah, dude, you do.
For me, I think that would be picking your towel up off the floor and putting your dishes in the dishwasher right away.
Yes.
That is my love language.
Yep. Yeah. Understood.
Yeah.
I think they call that acts of service.
Yes.
Yes.
Acts of basic home maintenance.
Right?
It's not even home maintenance. That's don't be a gross human.
Yep. Yes. It's acts of, you live here too.
My love language is the literal bare minimum.
Yeah, right?
The bar is low, ladies.
What so many are dealing with. So to have in this fantasy, like you said, of the book where these men are just, and they don't start that way necessarily, but mm-hmm. that they can evolve into being so open-minded and just like on board with everything that you would want them to be.
And they get in touch with their man feelings too. Like, it's men supporting men trying to figure out life, and it's really beautiful. There's this one scene where Mac just kind of like breaks down and he has all of his friends around him to just help pick him back up, and it's wonderful. And I'm just like, I hope, you know, men actually do this and they've just trained themselves really well to hide it from us, because they're, you know, as women, our friendships, they mean the world to us, and it's like a chosen family. And so you hope that's out there for guys too.
I can't say who because I would get in trouble, but I had a conversation with someone yesterday and they were talking about a sort of younger guy friend of theirs, and they were encouraging him. He's trying to find just like an anything job to fill a gap right now. And they were like, go work in a bookstore. You might meet like a smart girl working in a bookstore. And I was like, that implies that he deserves a smart girl. Like, I don't think he's ready for a smart girl. And they were like, well, she can train him. Like, she can get him in line. And I was like, that is not your girlfriend's job. No. I'm sick of that being the mentality that, like, some woman has to do the legwork to fix the guy so that he can move on to someone else and be, like, a functioning adult.
Yeah, it's not like training a seal or something. Like... Put enough emotional labor in, it'll do a trick.
Yeah. Yeah, and what is the covers on this one as well are ridiculous. Like, you guys are nailing the cover department over there.
I love art designers. They have just rocked my world. Mm-hmm. And the cover for the third one was actually just released, and there is a giant fluffy cat on it. And
I saw that.
I'm just very excited. What's the cat's name?
Oh, I'm blanking because it's a really funny name.
Yeah, it's a really funny name. Anyway.
I've been loving seeing people recreate the covers.
Oh, yes.
I've seen it a couple times and it's adorable.
It's really cute. So very excited. And the third one is scheduled to come out in the fall. So people don't have to wait that long. Yay.
Yeah.
But Erin, spring books for you?
Well, I feel like I don't want to steal some of the ones that you're going to talk about, Jess, because I know a few of the others you're going to mention. So we're going to hop around a little bit, and I'm going to bring up one from later in the summer. And this is a historical. I'm really excited. It's called Mr. Malcolm's List. And if anyone has watched it, you'll recognize this because Refinery 29 did a 15-minute short based on the manuscript of Mr. Malcolm's List. The author wrote it over, I think, 10 years ago now. And it was, you know, originally self-published. Then the author, Suzanne, turned it into a script. And it went through, Jenny, you're probably familiar with this, the blacklist, that sort of Hollywood system where, like, they'll wind up getting, like, it can kind of get voted up, then maybe get a table read. and it wound up getting an actual table read, and several women decided to get involved and produce this short, and it is incredible. The short is wonderful. You can see it on, you know, the Refinery site, and it has millions of views now. And I think what is very compelling about the short is that it was cast color consciously. So they intentionally chose actors that would not traditionally occupy these obviously very white roles, because it's a historical and set in period England. It is a very Jane Austen-like tale, and it's, oh my God, the dialogue. Like, that's why I knew that the two of you would be like, because it's got a decidedly Mr. Darcy flair with a hero, Mr. Malcolm, who is an earl, and he sort of offhandedly remarks to his friend, Lord Cassidy, or Cassie to his friends, that he has a long list of requirements for the woman that he would eventually make his wife. And Lord Cassidy goes and tells his cousin, who happens to be in love with Mr. Malcolm, sorry, this guy's got all these requirements. Like, there's just no way it's ever going to happen for you and him. And he thinks this is just a way of, like, dissuading her from having her focus on the wrong man. She'll move on. Oh, Cassie, you are so, so wrong. So, of course, the cousin is not pleased that there are all these requirements she doesn't meet. So she says, oh, okay, I will find one of my school friends. I will make this Mr. Malcolm fall in love with her, and then I will have her jilt him. So she goes after this woman, thinking she'll mold her into this supposedly perfect woman, this young woman named Selina. And of course, what you as the reader realize is Selina is exactly the type of woman that Mr. Malcolm would be interested in. Only she's put in this very awkward position of being told he's terrible and it's her job to jilt him. But she meets him and, oh, he's not so terrible. And they have wonderful banter. And of course, there's lots of conflict and, oh my goodness, a little hand touching. And it is so, it's just so witty. The language is so fantastic. It feels Austen, but a little modernized, without taking it too far, still letting you very much feel, you know, how you would feel in kind of that comedy of manners. And it is so wonderful. And of course, they are planning to do a full feature film, which would be fabulous, with Gemma Chan still currently attached, as well as Frida Pinto. Yes. So really, really exciting. And I just cannot say enough good things about it.
That sounds amazing. Cool.
I'm going to have to go watch the short when we're done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please do. You'll love it.
I was very sad when it ended. I was like, oh, wait, this isn't.
That's it. That's all I get.
I was like, that's it. Oh, sad.
Not to derail you guys, but we just talked TV film. So that immediately makes me think of Alexa Martin and where things are with her, and oh, what is her first one? Why am I blanking?
Intercepted.
Yes. Yeah. So I think since we've talked, her sort of where that is has been announced with its 50 Cent's production company has taken it on, right?
Yes, with Lala Anthony attached. And I mean, that is extraordinary. I unfortunately just doesn't have, I don't think, any updates at the moment.
There's a pick.
Which is pretty normal.
50 and like Lala and I guess like the writing crew.
Ooh.
Saying like, we're getting started. It was like amazing. A giant picture, like group picture or whatever that Alexa shared on Twitter. I was like, oh my God,
fabulous.
It's real.
Good.
Yes. So, and I know as much as the internet does at this point in time about it. Hollywood, for being such a gossipy thing, they actually maintain things very tight-lipped when it comes to actual filming things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Well, they have to, because they would look stupid if people actually knew how much it was going back and forth in the background.
if they knew how much it
wasn't together, that it's not like a smooth process, people would be like, what is going on?
That's true.
Bad press.
That's very true. But speaking of Hollywood, there is another book that is coming out May 26th that, guys, my heart grows like three sizes every time I think about this book.
And I already know what you're going to talk about. I'm excited.
It's called Something to Talk About. I'm talking about Something to Talk About by Meryl Wilsner. And it is a queer female slowest of slow burn contemporary romance. And I can't seem to shut up about it because I love everything about this book. The buildup is perfect. And you want to, like, I would say like 50% through, take your like Barbie dolls and say, just kiss already. and just like smush their faces together. But it's beautifully done. The characterization, you watch these women grow into their careers. And what I really, really love most is that their sexuality was not the central conflict. One of the main characters, Jo Jones, she is 41 and a lesbian, and her assistant that they fall for each other, Emma, is 28, one of those. And there's just the fact that, you know, Emma is bi and Jo's a lesbian, that's never a problem, which is great. It's, oh yeah, other life things happen and career focus and all this other stuff. And it was just, it's beautifully done. And Meryl makes sure that, you know, there are no like awkward power dynamics and stuff like that. So it's, you never feel uncomfortable when reading it, like, oh, Jo's in a position of power over her assistant, this is whatever. But it's just, it's these little moments of caring that Jo starts to try to take care of Emma that just like, it just warms my black heart. It warms my dead soul. I love it so much.
Well, and I love those tiny little moments that I think we as humans have when we overanalyze things, you know, when one character, you know, pushes the coffee across the desk in a particular way. What does that mean? You know, like, it's so funny. You think of all those moments when that's been you in those shoes. Like, well, if the person said it this way, or they looked at me with this glance, or they said that thing, you know, what does that mean? And you get all of those little moments in the book, which is really enjoyable.
Yeah, very much first love butterflies. And I hope everyone reads it. It's wonderful.
Is this a debut for the author?
It is indeed.
And remind me of the author's name.
Meryl Wilsner.
Okay. Yeah. And we have to wait till May for that one, right?
Yes, that one is May 26th.
Yes, just in time for Pride.
Exactly.
Yay. Oh, you guys know what you're doing.
We try.
Yeah, it's like they pay you to do this. I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like it's your job and you might be good at it.
Right? Only sometimes.
Shocking.
And I know a book that Erin and I are both very excited about, and that is Nalini Singh's next book in her Psy-Changeling series, which we can't get enough of, and that's called Alpha Knight. Mm-hmm. And y'all, got a sneak peek. It's so good. Can't say anything more because...
You're dirty, dirty tease. That's what
my
you
bad. Can't say I just, anything.
I want people to be excited and angry that they don't know more.
I mean, all we're just going to say is that it's a female alpha, and like, don't we all need that?
Yes.
Don't we need more of that?
Yes.
In
yes.
Do we do.
And it's real good.
So. Yes. You're going to love yourself a Russian wolf alpha.
Awesome.
Who is a boss is she... lady.
Ooh, yes, please. Immediately. Is she doing any more thrillers like the one that she did?
Indeed she is. We have the next one on the schedule already. So far out that it hasn't been... Well, I guess I shouldn't say so far. It's not that much further, but it's far enough that we haven't formally announced yet. And she likes to make the formal announcement, understandably. So she'll do that when the time is right. But yes, we absolutely have that on the docket already. She is incredibly excited about it. And so are the readers. The response to A Madness of Sunshine was fantastic. And I mean, I think we all know and have conversed before that scary stuff is not really my bag. but when I read A Madness of Sunshine, I fell instantly in love. It was Nalini's voice and in such a different way. You know, it really does show how, like, what a versatile writer she is. And the second book, I have no doubt, is going to deliver on every promise that the first made. So we're really excited to share that one as well.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't do scary anything at all, but I loved that book. It's not like cheap thrills scary. It's like psychological and atmospheric, and it's just so intense and cool.
Yes. And that's very much the plan for the second one. Like, I realized when I was reading, I'm like, there's a lot more creepiness inside her head than I fully understood. I feel like, exactly. Like, every author, man, they have something going on, like, internally that I think the rest of us just don't. And that's what makes them so incredibly creative and special and fantastic. Like, I'm here for your darkness. I'm here for your happy. I'm here for whatever mess you have going on upstairs.
This is the lens that Nalini is looking at her neighbors through. It's good. It's fine. She's got a healthy outlet for it.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And what else? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, no. I was just going to ask what else is coming up. I'm still stuck on thinking about Nalini's writing, though. I'll read anything she writes. She's just so
we don't
good.
Blame you.
Yeah, same.
It's epic. Real Men Knit, also super excited for this one. That comes out on May 19th, and that is written by Quanah Jackson. And the first time I saw the cover, and I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's like a giant pair of Timberlands and a guy's hands like knitting, and it's perfect. Mm-hmm. So it takes place in Harlem, and the owner of the knitting shop has just passed away and left the store to her four adopted foster sons. And the youngest one really wants to make a fight for the store and give it a go, but doesn't actually know how to do life things. And so the store helper, who's been coming there since she was a little girl and kind of grew up with these guys, it's like, I'll help you out, you know, whatever. And then feels. So many feels. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited for this one. It's very rich in environment as well as cute little like knitting inside jokes, which other people will get. I don't. I can't. Yeah. Oh my God. I tried once. It was terrible, but other people will really, really love the knitting references.
Well, and anyone who enjoys community in their books is going to love this one, because Quanah grew up in a huge city and in a small community of a huge city. You know, she said around her neighborhood, still people know her as her mother's daughter, you know, specifically by that reference. And this book has all of those wonderful kind of familial community qualities that just makes it so charming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm obsessed with this cover. I'm looking at it right now. The colors are just gorgeous. And right, I love the little curly cues around the title or the yarn. Oh,
yes.
It's gorgeous.
I just like the boots. This one is super high on my list right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to get to it probably pretty soon.
Yay.
Oh, good. You will enjoy. We can't wait to hear what you think.
Well, do we get the sort of male camaraderie bromance thing happening, I'm assuming, in this one too?
Yes, for sure. I would say there's a lot more personality clashing, but it's still in very much a brotherly way. Like, you could only get away with saying some of the stuff they do to each other because they are brothers.
Oh, I love that.
And you're just like, ooh, man, family drums. But you can tell they all really, really care about each other. It's great.
That's awesome.
Well, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, if that's okay, into the fall. Mm-hmm. And I know Jess will pop in on this one because we both adore it. So funny story with this book, and Jenny, you'll remember as soon as I start to talk about it because I filled you in on it. Like,
is it the roommate one? I want
you
the roommate
know it.
One.
You know it.
I'm sitting here like, do the roommate.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is such a cool story. When the editor got it in on submission, it was sort of like I just heard the words porn star. And I was like, there's a porn star? There's a book? Tell me more. I need it right now. Mm-hmm. And They sent it to me over the weekend, so I got to read it. And I came in Monday morning, and I think in like a terrifying manner that was not meant to be terrifying, I was like looming over the editor's desk, like, we must have this. We must. How do we have it? And thankfully, very quickly, it was ours. And the book itself, once you start it, you won't be able to stop turning the pages. It's such a beautiful combination of opposites that fit together perfectly in every way. You have an East Coast New England blue blood who, you know, is feeling a little bit untethered, though she has, you know, this wonderful graduate degree and she's done all the right things and comes from a very wealthy, well-to-do family. She's not terribly happy in her life. And when her lifetime crush slash love, true love, says, well, you know, why don't you just leave everything on the East Coast? Come on out to LA, stay with me. You know, you can figure things out here. And she thinks, oh my God, this is finally the chance for me to tell this guy that I'm in love with him. It's going to be amazing. She moves out there and he picks her up from the airport. And well, he says, so about moving in, you still can. But it turns out my band got a gig and I actually got to go on the road. Don't worry, though. I got a subletter for you.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah. That's literally like he's gone within 24 hours of picking her up from the airport.
Total man move. And she gets into the apartment, obviously upset because the love of her life has just driven away. And who does she meet but Josh? Unbelievable, like sex on a stick. We can just describe him that way. I think that's a very fair assessment of Josh.
But like in a happy way.
Yes.
He's like a very jovial character, yes, which I loved. I've kind of described him a couple of times. I was like a golden retriever, but the sexy man version.
Yes.
I don't know.
Accurate. Like,
he's happy and warm, and I loved that about him.
Yes. And when she realizes that he's a porn star, she is obviously like quite a bit taken aback, does not really know what to make of it. And what I think is really important to emphasize here is how the author, Rosie, subverts so many things that you would assume are going to happen in this story. So, yes. Josh has been in the porn industry. He does not have a sob story. He hasn't been victimized. Porn isn't demonized in any way in this novel. He happens to have a crappy manager and have gotten into a bad contract. But there is nothing that's demonizing about that particular industry. And all of the characters that appear in the novel are incredibly human and fully realized and
they really like their jobs, like they genuinely care about their careers.
Josh basically says, you know, I didn't really know what I wanted to do and I am awesome at sex, so I did this. And who doesn't love a man with that kind of confidence?
I mean, know your strengths, people. It's great, right?
And
she's got forced proximity with him.
Yes, yeah. She has forced proximity, exactly. And on top of it, Well, she does get on top of it, but sorry, I just couldn't resist. But what winds up happening is because he can't, due to his contract, he can't do any new films. He's trying to figure out really what to do with his life. She's trying to figure out what to do with hers. And they hatch this business idea together. What if they could create a website where women could discover more about their own pleasure and how to ask for what they want? How to really believe and know that they deserve what they want and how to communicate that effectively. What if he could do some voiceover narrations, that's talking?
Short erotic.
Yeah. What if that was to happen? And they launch this business together, interestingly, with Josh's ex-girlfriend, who, again, in an amazing case of subverting the expected, turns out to be this wonderfully high-powered woman, Naomi, that gets along with and genuinely appreciates the other characters in this book. So there is no rivalry, which one would always expect.
Yeah, I love that.
This girl is all about the business. Like, yes. She has such a mind for it, and she's tough as nails. And I was like, yes. And she really cares. So, you know, naturally when things start to heat up between Josh and Clara, she's like, is this going to mess with our business? Because mm-hmm. that's not cool. And that is where her head is at. Not yeah. jealousy, not she's moving in on like my old territory or yep. anything. And I loved that.
And the other point that is so worth being discussed is that this is one of the more feminist reads that I have come across in a while. And it is done in such a fascinating way. Like, Rosie truly has skill at creating characters that you fall in love with. And I mean, it's frankly just got some important, you know, contemporary societal commentary. And I think anyone who reads it is going to fall in love with the characters, with the story, and absolutely with Rosie's writing. Like, you're just going to want to curl up with the roommate and never stop reading. Like, that's really all I can say.
Yeah, this sounds incredible. I really, really want to read it.
Don't you worry. We will be getting you a copy the Yay! Moment we have something to share.
And speaking of creepy editor desk covering, that's another one where... hovering over the editor's desk for book two. We're just like, yes. So is it written yet? She's like, no.
And it's Christine, right?
Yes.
We've had Christine on the show, so she'll be familiar. So yeah, you can imagine them lurking over Christine's desk. Give it to us.
She plays it off really well, guys. She says it's not annoying when we do it, but I have a feeling it is.
She's yeah. got a she hell of a list.
She does.
She does indeed.
Yeah, I think she actually picked up one of my friend's books. Maddie Sinha has, it changed yes. the title. Oh yeah, Love and Other Contagious Diseases. I helped her brainstorm that
Oh,
title.
Amazing. Yes, we have that book coming up in September of this mm-hmm. year.
Anyway, and that's more women's fiction, but
yes,
I'll do a quick plug for it because Maddie is amazing. We were in Rev Pit together, and it's sort of this young... Indian American doctor who is trying to find her role in a new medical position, and then facing ethical issues and romance issues and things like that. So that one is coming out September 15th, and I am really excited for it. And I love the cover for that one too. So,
but it's not a romance, you said.
No, I mean she classifies it women's fiction. I haven't read it yet, so I do not know. How it ends. I just know that it's I've heard it pitched as women's fiction. So
yes, it is indeed women's fiction. I mean, I yeah. think there are a number of romance readers that will also enjoy it, but I do want to clarify it is not specifically a romance.
Yeah.
Which like is fine. We definitely read women's fiction too. Yeah. I just always try not to mislead people. So yeah.
I always
try and find out
it.
If possible if it's women's fiction because it's like, you know, about their journey more than it is the romance, or if it's yes. because, or if it's because it doesn't have an HEA.
Yep.
Totally. We understand. We feel
yeah.
the same.
Yeah. We try to be very, very clear upon that. Even I'll put in parentheses of like, this story has romantic elements, AKA their romance is there, but it's not the main focus. Mm-hmm. So we like to have those lines because, you know, people know what they want, especially romance readers. And if that's not what they want, they can move on.
Yes.
Well, and sometimes I'm totally there for that. Like, I'm good with it. Or if you want to read something that's going to just be completely different and then you can go back to your HEA, it's just as long as you know going in, it's fine.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm.
But that sounds really cool.
Well, I have one more that I do want to mention. This is also a fall book. And it is called Meet You in the Middle by Devin Daniels. And so, folks, we know that opposites can attract and there can be, you know, huge challenges overcome by love. But can love overcome a political divide?
Oof.
So that is a huge chasm. To be overcome, not just in this book, but I think, you know, in our society.
Just a smidge.
And
I'm
what
like
I,
cringing already, but I trust
what
you.
What I want to say.
Yes, give it a chance.
Give it a chance. give it a chance. But what I do want to say, you know, up front is that there are so many people I actually know in my real life, both in my family and in my friend groups, that are in bipartisan relationships. So I know it is possible. But I think what's interesting about this book is that it allows you to explore, you know, can you have similar values, but approach those values very differently. And I also want to preface this with, if you, you know, are the person who believes that you can't find anything redeeming in somebody that is not within your political party, then I don't know if this book is for you. I do know that I have been, you know, one to say something in the past about like, oh, I don't understand how a Democrat could date a Republican. Like, I just don't understand how they could.
And I think a lot of people feel that way. Yeah. I know.
And I saw myself very uncomfortably in a couple of exchanges in this book where I went, oh man, I'm just as guilty of being quick to judge. And that's what was fun about reading it. It's a book that definitely allows you to really think and play with some of the more, I guess I would say, common stereotypes about each side, but it's done in a way that believably feels escapist. It is a way to finally kind of laugh and let some of the tension out of the room over political discussions. And man, did I need that when I picked up this book, because I finally got to laugh at both sides in a way that felt like such a relief, not guilty for making fun of either side. And to really get to what the book is about, you have a female Democratic staffer for a senator and a male staffer who works for a Republican senator. And this is for sure enemies to lovers. Hardcore.
Like, don't, pardon me, haven't read it yet on my giant list. They pull pranks on each other, right?
Oh, the pranks are delicious.
Love it.
So it all starts with a very bad meeting in the office. Does not go well. And heroine leaves this meeting like, what a jerk. I cannot believe this asshole. And he decides to send her basically a sort of a how to do your job for dummies book. Oh. And she's like, oh. You want a mess? Okay.
The fire has been lit.
So they start sending back and forth these essentially inner office memo packets, and the stuff that they are putting in, like the whole office gets in on it. I mean, I was laughing so hard at one point, I was crying. And I remember being like, number one, the author is brilliant just for coming up with some of the insane pranks that they pull on each other, just the ridiculous stuff that she finds. It was so, so funny. And what I also really loved about this is it had the best sizzling, simmering sexual tension of a book that I have read in I literally don't know how long.
Ooh, that's bold. I mean,
that's high praise.
I was at one point like, if you don't have them do it, I am about to call you on the phone and explain why you should have by now. So it was amazing. And I do want to say up front, in terms of the fact that they're obviously in different political parties, that the issues discussed in this book are not the extreme hot button issues that we often talk about publicly right now. So, I mean, we're talking like tax reform and, you know, credits for working mothers. So like, yes, extraordinarily important issues, but we are not necessarily talking about some of the more polarizing topics. Yeah. And also, I just love that you have characters that talk a lot about their values and things that are important to them. And, you know, those are things that we all ought to be talking about with partners or potential partners. And it's really fascinating to see two incredibly intelligent, articulate, passionate people who are at such seemingly opposite ends of the spectrum find ways that they are very, very similar. And I did ask the author, you know, did you talk to people that like really live this as their lives? And she was like, absolutely. I talked to tons of people. She has people in her family that are in bipartisan relationships. She talked to people that actually work in Washington.
Also, I now love that there is a category of relationships called bipartisan.
Yes.
Because that has to be a thing right now.
Yes, indeed. So again, I realize that this is going to sound like really scary territory.
No, I mean, you just took me from like, nope, to like, oh, no, I'll give this a try and report back. Like,
well, I guess what I keep saying about it is there are books that I always feel like push the envelope in really interesting ways. And I love envelope pushing books. And I've been such a passionate advocate for a number of them over the years. And I know there are folks that, you know, won't fall in love with every book. That's okay. But this is one that on the surface, when I heard Republican and Democrat, I was like, woo. How did you come up with that? And then when I talked to the author, I was like, oh, because you wanted extraordinary conflict. Well, sure. Couldn't have picked a better pairing for conflict. Or frankly, a better pairing for foreplay when you're going for enemies to lovers. And I'm telling you, the steam is real when you read this book. So I say give it a whirl because I loved the hell out of it.
Yeah. It's my dream to someday have like a wildly antagonistic hot office relationship, even though I'm just not cut out for it, though. Like, I don't fight for fun or sexy times. I just get really sad. So every time I'm like, oh, this is so hot and I love this tension and ooh, they hate each other and they should just do it. And I'm like, I'm such a wimp in my own life. But it always makes me wish. It makes me wish.
Fair. Also, there is nothing appealing about getting sexy in your actual office. Mm-mm. I'm just going to say that right now. So, like, the fantasy of it is so amazing.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't actually want to ruin your career.
No, that too.
Well, no, but I'm also thinking, like, you don't know what's been on your carpet before you were in that office.
That's what you're thinking.
Maybe I just went to the really, like, you know, what is that? Like, I took the fantasy right out of it there. Sorry.
Well, but, you know, somebody also like, somebody ate Brussels sprouts for lunch.
Oh, that's no. Nice. Gross.
This is going downhill fast. Yeah, I'm going to stop us.
Just I feel ruined like that fantasy.
Since Jess is so brand new to our audience, and I don't think Erin has done some of our newer rapid fire, I thought it might be fun to wrap up with those.
Yes, so let's do it.
Get to know you a little bit better.
Intrigued and scared.
Excellent. Sarah, I sent you a slightly trimmed down version. Okay.
I got it.
All right. What is the most interesting object in your workspace?
I have a Pusheen stuffed animal cat who it is dressed like a unicorn. So I call him my pernicorn.
Aww. He is very adorable.
He's very squishy, and I bought it on my 30th birthday because I'm an adult. It's great.
I think that's the definition of adulting.
Right?
Yeah.
Erin, have you answered that question before?
I can't remember, but I have a stress penis.
I'm glad I checked.
It's literally a little stress ball shaped like a penis. It has googly eyes on it. I was given it by an author. It sits proudly right above my computer. And occasionally, folks that don't know me well will come into my office and be like, is that a stress penis? Why, yes, it is. Are you stressed? Do you need to squeeze? I have it here for you. No one has ever, one single time, taken me up on that.
What?
Are you shocked?
Rude.
I would squeeze the heck out of that penis.
Why, thank you, Sarah.
That's the pull quote for this episode.
We live to serve.
Yeah. All right. What is the last book that kept you up reading? Ooh. And it might or might not be one of the ones we just talked about, I guess.
Might not.
I can tell you. I just want to double check that I have the title right, because I have read every single one of this author's books, and occasionally I let titles meld together in my mind. Oh, good. I actually did remember correctly.
It's reassuring that happens to you, too.
Oh, totally, yeah. For sure. I have so many books in the brain. Say No More by Karen Rose. It's her next hardcover romantic suspense novel out this August. And Jenny, I've probably told you about this one, but the series' overarching plot revolves around a cult that they are attempting to find. And man, if you find cults fascinating, either in life and or in fiction, which I totally do. I think I've watched every like A&E special on cults. I'm fascinated. I mean, for somebody that's not usually into creepy, scary shit, cults, I don't know, but they just fascinate the hell out of me. And so I was thrilled when one of my authors decided to write a cult series and make it very romantic and sexy. I didn't think that was possible, but I mean, she does. And it's fabulous. And I love procedurals, and she does like amazing investigations in her romantic suspense novels. So highly recommend, out this August.
The episode's not even out yet, and I just felt Katie Roberts' ears perk up from wherever she's listening right now.
Speaking of cults, the last book that kept me up was a summer title from Berkeley called The Year of the Witching.
That's a good title.
Yeah, right. And the cover is, oh, chef's kiss perfection. And it's got cult vibes plus magic plus, do you guys remember that movie The Village that came out like years ago? I think it was like an M. Night Shyamalan one.
Yeah.
Where it's like this very insular community and they're like, don't go into the woods. But it's also like a very patriarchal society and all this other, and this girl whose mom went into the woods at some point in time, and so she's kind of like blacklisted from life in general. And it's truly, truly fascinating and creepy with like a hint of a romance. So something in it for everyone.
Yeah, Sarah, you're gonna want to get your hands on this one.
Yes, I'm actually, I'm looking at the summary now and I'm like, yes, I want this. I want this very badly.
Yep, just remind us. We'll make sure you get a copy.
Okay, I will.
Our audience is sitting there like, what? Should not be that easy. Oh, it's me. That always happens where I'm like, okay, what's happening? It's me. Anything that you irrationally hate?
My mind went blank because there are so many things.
There's two types of people. There's the type that says, I don't irrationally hate anything. And there's the type that says, oh, there's so many things. How do I pick one?
Irrationally hate hair in the shower drain.
Yeah.
And I just, even like mine, roommates, significant others, nope, just pure hatred. I can't really explain it. I'm like, it's a natural thing. Everybody sheds, but nope. Can't stand it.
I think it's gross, but that's not my irrational hatred. I mean, mine's probably like Brussels sprouts and maybe if they're like super, super crispy and like covered in bacon, maybe, but like Brussels aren't really my thing. And, halupkis.
I have no idea what that is.
What is that?
They're this Eastern European food that my mom way over made one day in my childhood. There were like, I don't know, multiple dozen halupkis in my house. It smelled like cabbage and like meat and rice with a weird tomatoey sauce. And I feel if you like halupkis, that's cool. That's like if you like seafood, that's cool. If you like steak, that's cool. But I do not like halupkis. I don't want to smell halupkis. And I don't want them anywhere near me. Well, that I got very passionate about that. I'm just not a halupki fan.
I love this question when stuff like that comes up.
I feel like I want to add to my list really quick. People who chew gum and can't close their mouths. Car air fresheners.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Nope. That is such a random one.
No, I'm with you on that.
They give me a headache. I don't like them. I would much rather your car smell like old French fries and cigarettes. Like, I don't know why that's better to me, but it is.
Oh my god, it is
the worst. You don't think it's a big deal, but I got in a Lyft the other day that had a really strong air freshener, and I was just sitting there the whole time, like my sinuses, what is happening?
Yeah. I've put the window down in like an Uber or Lyft before in the middle of winter, and it's, you know, real feel 15 degrees out, and the person's like, why is your window down? I was like, because if I don't have it down, I will vomit on your chair. So
they probably thought you were drunk.
Yeah. And I was like, no, no, no. Just smells terrible.
This reminds me of a lift I took after RWA last year. And I think it had a really strong air freshener and it had like flashing strobe lights and vibrating seats.
Oh.
And it was a sensory overload. It was like being inside of a very bad smelling club.
That's awful. Oh.
Yeah. Who thought that was a good idea?
I don't know, but it was a lot. Especially because I think it was like 4 a.m. I was going to the airport or something. And I was like, wow, this is too early for this. I can't.
I remember
do
you
this.
Posting a video or a picture of it or something. And I was like, this is not real.
Oh, that is a driver fail right there if I ever heard one.
You're only allowed to have flashing lights if it's Cash Cab. Cash Cab was the best.
Yes, true.
And then I'll forgive you because like I'm going to be asked quiz questions and make money. Like, it's cool.
Right, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Sorry, that's not very rapid fire of me, but...
Oh, no, we don't... It has nothing to do with
speed. We need
a new
name. We just... The publicists need to come up with a new name for us.
Yeah.
Wait, you could call it like random question round.
Random question round.
Maybe we'll switch to that.
You are. Yeah. Okay. If we were going to use an object to summon you with a spell, what would that object be?
A wine glass?
Bearded Chris Evans.
Yeah. Okay. Both of those.
Okay. Yeah.
Aaron's like, can I change my answer?
Yeah, damn.
Wait,
I was just thinking, like, what's very me? A wine glass, but yeah, sure.
Or a puppy. Chris Evans, bearded Chris Evans holding a puppy.
Holding
That's
a puppy.
Fair. There it is.
Did you see he's going to be the dentist in the movie of Little Shop of Horrors?
Hell yes. That's awesome.
Like, I'm excited that he's doing like weird character roles now. I really loved him in Knives Out, and I just want him to play evil, odd people always.
He's a delightful creature, and he can do anything.
Mm-hmm. What is a stupid piece of advice that someone has given you at some point over the years that, like, you might know is stupid, but you still can't get it out of your head?
I don't
know. This often ends up being writing advice, but it could also be, like, personal care, like, that you're supposed to do something.
Oh, no, mine is actually sort of writing advice. It's while I was in college, a professor of mine, an honors professor, told me while I was in his honors class, Aaron, I know you think you're a writer, but I just don't see it.
Ooh.
And the funny thing is, I didn't particularly think of myself as a writer for a living. I was thinking more that I was going to go into, like, not a novelist writer. I was thinking more that I would wind up being in newspapers or magazines. And, I have a lot of theories about why this man said what he said, but I remember at the time thinking, if this is what this program is going to be like, I probably ought to be surrounded by people who are more supportive of my ambitions. And eventually I did find my way to another program that was much more suited to me. And joke's on him, because I still write every day. Now I just happen to write... pitch letters, and I write about stuff that I actually love 24/7. I mean, well, yeah, I don't love writing emails, but I write about stuff I'm in love with 24/7. So that's all right. His advice was shit anyway.
People like that shouldn't be teaching.
Yeah.
Agreed. This guy was, well, I'm not a fan of him. We'll put it that way.
I don't know who told me this, and it's very random, but it was when you're packing and you need to make extra room, stuff your underwear in your shoes.
What?
Oh, no.
No. Stick your socks in your shoes. What the?
Socks are better. But also, like, I don't want my socks or my underwear to smell like my shoes. I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, so, that's not good advice.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, that was some bad advice. I was like, no.
Who wants some shoe underwear? No.
It was bad.
This was not a woman, was it?
No.
Obviously not. No woman would do that. Gross.
Oh my god. Okay. We are going to play a game of fuck, marry, burn down the patriarchy.
Yes, so, I love this.
Yes. So I'm going to give you three women, and you have to pick which one you're going to fuck, which one you're going to marry, and which one you are going to go on a feminist rampage with.
Got it.
And your options are Tessa Thompson, Kate Blanchett, and Lucy Liu.
Jess, you're up. I'm stressed.
And you don't have to say fuck in the office if you don't want to.
I don't care. let's see. I would burn down the patriarchy with Lucy Liu. Yeah. And I would fuck Kate Blanchett and marry Tessa Thompson.
Oh, that I love her. God, that was well chosen.
Love her. And like the night with Kate Blanchett would be supremely weird and awesome.
True. Okay, but I gotta remember that whoever I marry, I get to fuck all the time. Okay, yeah. So, okay, got it. Okay, I am going to also fuck Kate Blanchett, obviously. I am going to burn down the patriarchy with Tessa Thompson, mm-hmm. and then Lucy Liu is going to be my lady forever. I'm going to marry her.
All right.
Excellent. We're jealous.
Meryl Wilson would agree.
Oh, that's
Lucy
true.
Lucy was a big inspiration for the character.
I think they would agree. Awesome.
Wait, which character is Lucy Liu an inspiration for?
Jo Jones.
Yes.
The showrunner, the not assistant character.
Yes. Got it. Okay. In the slow burn.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Awesome.
What is a movie that you would watch every day?
Oh, damn.
Dazed and Confused.
Well,
love it.
That's pretty
good. Can't really explain it, but something about the 70s and the music and the last night of high school, like, it's one of my all-time favorites.
Okay, people are really going to laugh at me when I say mine. I just want to put out there that I really love franchise films. I am not a film buff. I am not a highbrow film watcher. And I am damn proud of that. So the movie that I could watch over and over again, I'm absolutely going to get flamed for this. Fast and Furious, I could watch over and over and over again.
Which one? Yeah.
Okay. So obviously, Tokyo Drift was a sad and low moment in the film franchise. So
it had Han.
It did. Okay. Han is my baby, and Han can only be talked about in the most complimentary of terms. And I know he's coming back. I'm very excited. I realized my voice got really loud right there. I'm sorry. But Han is a darling. I love him deeply. I'm so glad they're bringing him back. Okay, so I could rewatch movie one over and over and over again because vintage Brian and Dom film when they're in Brazil. So obviously Fast Five, because that is just spectacular. Who doesn't want to see them racing down the street with, you know, the huge vault strapped to the car? I mean, just amazing. So probably, and I do love others, but then there's, you know, I'm going to stick with one and five, and you also have Roman and Tej in five and Han. So, yeah, I mean,
it's the first big team up.
Yeah, it's the big team up. So, well, you know, I go back and forth between one and five, but either one of those I could watch again and again and again. Thank you for letting me wax poetic about my Fast and Furious.
I love the best your answer, though. We're like movie soulmates where, like, I don't want anything serious. I don't want anything highbrow. I'm like, if it's got Vin Diesel in it, I'm probably here for it.
Yes, like, absolutely.
I've been made fun of so much because I love the original Triple X.
I love it too.
Yes.
It's absurd, and
Thank
I don't
you.
Give a fuck. Like, I love it. I would probably watch that every day.
Him in that ludicrous fur coat.
Yeah.
What is happening? And yet,
I think that like, started a kink for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I don't even, one. I mean, set in like some random Eastern European country that I don't even think exists.
No.
And oh, was it Prague?
I'm
is that
sure
where it was?
Prague.
Okay. But, I mean, I think for
whatever,
real, it was
Prague.
Totally random. Yeah. But yeah, it was just, oh my God, I love that film. Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. It's I'm trying to think back. I just have like flashes of memory of that film, like that girl dancing on the bed and
on like
flying
the four
through the
poster
air.
Poster bed.
Yeah, literally,
she's like, gyrating.
Yes, yes, she is.
Like this girl's got skills.
Yeah. And then when he's like, "Oh no, that waitress, her shoes aren't sensible enough," and it's like, "Ooh, Finn, you understand.
Yes, you're so smart and observant.
Exactly.
All right. Who is someone you professionally admire?
Ooh. Oh my gosh, where do you even start there?
Just the first person who comes to mind. It's a no pressure question. It's not.
Yeah, it's
the
okay
person
if you
admire most. Or
yeah,
Amy Poehler. I have loved watching her career over the last few years, from Saturday Night Live and then Parks and Rec, and now her memoir is excellent, and she does girls. There's some sort of organization she started, and it has girls in the title, and it's slipping my mind. But she also helped produce Broad City, which is one of my all-time favorites, and she is such an advocate for women and always manages to bring the lighter side of things as well. And I think she is just a joy, and I would love to be her friend.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think just because I have books on the mind, I'll say Reese Witherspoon, because I'm so excited that she has, you know, launched her book club and has given a voice to so many authors and is really encouraging and in fact impacting what people read, and more people are choosing to pick up books as a result of her recommendation. So I'm excited when somebody in that position uses their platform to encourage reading. Like, that is awesome in my book.
Yeah, that's such a good point. So if people want to keep up with the goings on of Berkeley and your books and your authors, where are the places and like the best place that they can do that?
I run our Berkeley Romance Twitter account. There are several Berkeley accounts, but Berkeley Romance is where most things romance live. And then we have a marvelous team of women who run our Berkeley Romance Instagram account, and there's giveaways, and they do amazing things with stories and all that kind of stuff. And our Facebook page will have like release date posts and giveaways, cover reveals, like your basic general things. But so I would say those are the three biggest places to hit us up.
Yeah. And if you want to have a meme war or a GIF war, like, just go back and forth with Jess on Twitter. I do wonder sometimes when I see all of the GIFs, I'm like, when do you pitch? But you figure it out.
I get it done.
I like that I know who's behind the Twitter account now.
Yes,
like, I sort of assume you guys pass it back and forth, but now that I know that it's Jess, I feel like I can engage. And,
if I'm on vacation, it's someone else, but yeah.
But it is, and I think once you know, you're like, oh yes, that is 100% Jess's personality, and those are Jess's jokes, because she always has like really quippy and witty comebacks, and I'll be the one that's like, I give up. I don't have anything. Like, I could write you a 4-paragraph comeback. I cannot do a one-liner. Just not my thing.
Some days I don't have it, you know, but some days it's just firing on all cylinders.
But you can always boil it down to like a really entertaining GIF. And I just am not capable of doing that. I'm the one that's like trying to hunt around with like too many words for what I'm trying to say. And, you know, instead get like an error message. It's like, that doesn't exist in a GIF. Stop asking for so many words.
There's like an art form to finding the right one.
Yes, there is.
And that's what's worse is that when I know what I'm looking for and it doesn't exist, and I don't have time to like go to Giphy or whatever and make it, I'm like, oh, fine, wasted opportunity, but whatever. but yeah, GIFs are great.
Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to preview what's coming. I don't even know which one I'm most excited about. It's you've just overwhelmed all of our TBR piles.
Yep.
Great.
Well, thank you. It's always so much fun to talk about romance. I mean, we do it all day, every day, and we never, ever get sick of it.
It's very true.
Yeah, we'll end on that note.